Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Raul Henson, and this is the Medicine of Success podcast. And for today, we have a guest that is very special, no? Special in the sense that she's the dean of the UST Faculty of Medicine and Surgery. And to top on that, she's a neurosurgeon. And I remember when I was in I was in med school. There was a lady that was a senior resident, and she was the wife of my brad, Dr. Nelson Maguinaw. And then finally, I realized she was a neurosurgeon, and her name is Doctora Odette Maguinaw. Doctora, welcome to our podcast. How are you?
I'm good. Good evening, Raul. Thank you for inviting me in your podcast.
Yes. Finally, we had a date and time to schedule this podcast. It's been delayed for a couple of weeks, but it's okay. It's still good to talk to you.
Before we start,
thank you, Doctor. An honor for me because you're the dean of our med school, so it's really fun gonna be interviewing you. What we're gonna do, Doctora? We're just gonna just have a casual conversation with this interview. And my first question to you is, how did you start? Maybe start from the beginning, like where you came from, your province, high school, etc. Yeah.
Actually, I was raised and born in Manila, although my father is from Nueva Ecija and my mom is from Parañaque. It was really a childhood dream, to be a neurosurgeon, but my first dream was to be an astronaut. If you would believe that, that was my original dream. I wanted to be in the moon. yes, that was the original dream. But one time, I think I was in grade 4 when my father, he is really very influential in my life. No, so when he asked me, I think it's very difficult to be an astronaut these days. I don't know what school to put you in. I don't know how to educate you and all this stuff. Why not be a doctor? And a neurosurgeon at that, he said. So, I mean, since, he impacted my life so much, so that incident talagang shift, no? It's a 360, and I try to look on some books and how would a doctor be like when they are in practice. So since then, I was already interested in medicine. And my dad was even telling me, why don't you be a neurosurgeon? So, since then on, that was my direction. That was my direction.
Nice.
I really wanted to be a neurosurgeon.
Were you the as a lady, as we know that surgery is kind of difficult special to go into, especially with all the guys who are your senior residents.
Yes.
were you the first lady resident, or there were before you there were a few?
I was the first in UST. There was one ahead of me, Doctora Pusongkoy from PGH, but we're really a generation, a big gap, no? And since then, I was under the mentorship of Dr. Renato Sibayan, the great Renato Sibayan, the great Dr. Isabella. I mean, I was very lucky during that time, but, during that time when I was applying for the position, which is like one in every 3 years, it's really it's political will. I wanted to be a neurosurgeon, and I will not stop until I get to be one. So that was I was headstrong, and I think that was it. No, so I was asking for. I think there was a story then, because my brother had a brain tumor. My older brother, he was in pre-med during that time, and I was in high school, and Dr. Sibayan again impacted my life. No, he was like an inspiration or role model. And every time, when I went to med school, I would see him in the building, but I was not in surgery yet. No, so I asked him, doctor, I really wanted to be a neurosurgeon. Okay, he told me, wait until you get into third year when we have surgery class. So I would approach him again. Doctor, I'm already a third year student. I'm in your class. Okay, wait till you finish, medicine and go into internship and then go to residency and then you come to me again. So I would come to him every year and telling him, doctor, can I apply? So, I mean, that was it. So I was very persistent. I think that was one thing that is, you know, that's a positive thing on me, the persistence. If you want one thing, you have to be headstrong, and that's it. So everything was history. So, yeah, I was the first in UST, yes.
Well, you're a pillar, no? You're one of the pioneers in, I remember the other ones who followed, and
yes.
And you're like now an icon. That, and plus, imagine you're now the dean. You know, imagine you're now the dean of our Faculty of Medicine and Surgery. And I think you were the first. Oh, no. I remember some lady deans before, but at least
yes.
I could say that my friend is a dean.
Yes, of course.
Because you remember when during our student days, their deans are like, they're so high.
Yes, God.
You can talk to them. Yeah. And, but you know, you're easily, you know, we can talk to you easily. And yeah. I'm sure the students are happy also to have you mm-hmm. as their dean. No? Mm-hmm. And then my next question, Doctor, is how did you feel like after graduating your surgery, you felt like being a faculty of UST Medicine and Surgery?
Yeah, actually, after I finished my residency and I started practicing, I got the you know, invitation of the other surgery staff. Oh, why don't you apply in the medical school? No, and it was, I think, during that time wherein you cannot practice in the hospital unless you're a faculty. So I think that was one positive thing during that time, that when you, if you want to practice in the hospital, you have to be a member of the faculty, and it works. It's very good, no? Because you teach in the faculty and you train residents, you practice in the hospital. So it's a good ecosystem, no? And mm-hmm. that was during that time when you work together and you're a faculty, and then you are in the hospital, you practice. But you know, my being a dean is not really, you know, in my dreams, no.
Of course.
No.
Usually it falls in your lap, and you cannot refuse, and you know.
Yeah.
So why consider? I mean, like, you know, through the years you become a staff. I'm sure you became a. Mm-hmm.
I was carrying.
Went through the ranks, the usual stuff for professors and then.
Yes, and I was.
Only, how did it fall on your lap?
And I was only getting like a few units because I only teach neurosurgery and general surgery one. No, so it wasn't really in my radar to get into an administrative post. However, when I was, I think that was in 2013, when although I took some, I took a master's program in health professions education. So in 2013, I think it was the deanship of Dr. Jesus Valencia, when he approached me, he was looking for an assistant dean, no? So Dr. Jess Valencia, my predecessor, he was very close to me. And as a surgeon, no, he told me, "Det, why don't you be my assistant dean?" So I cannot decline. I cannot say no to him. So, okay. So I said, okay, Kuya Jess. I told him, I called him Kuya Jess. So, okay, fine. I can be your assistant dean. So, but after this, I'm going back to my private, you know, my old self. No, administration is not my cup of tea. So, but then after that, after his first term, yun na. So that was it. So I think it's not you going after the position, but the position considers you, no, modesty aside. But
usually it's like that, yeah.
And there are a lot of competent and, you know, qualified people. I tell you, there are a lot of, you know, gems in the faculty, gems in the Faculty of Medicine and Surgery, doctors from UST who really are competent and qualified for the post. But I guess this is my life path. So I really believe in destiny, and I really believe in, you know, where God will put you, you will do best. So I do my practice, I do, you know, this administrative post.
How about balancing family? You know, of course, there's Nelson, our Brad, yes, my Brad.
Yes, yes. Nelson,
tao mo sigma fi, ah, pinlag ko pa.
Yes, I know.
But, plugging. So how do you balance that with your kids, practice, yes. deanship. Oh, that's yeah. that's a load. That's a huge load.
Huge load. Actually, even up to now, it hasn't sunk on me. No, na oh, dean ka pala, and then you're a neurosurgeon and you're a family person as well. No, I have 4 kids. No, my eldest are twins, a boy and a girl. They are now in incoming clerks. No, in USD.
Oh wow,
as well.
Nice.
Yes. So I
congratulations.
I'm telling you, I'm blessed, no? I mean, I don't have problems with my children. My second born, is a special child, no? He's in the spectrum of autism. He's now 21 years old, but he's okay. Now, my youngest one, she's in grade 12, incoming grade 12. She's also okay. She's been with me always attending UST Medical Alumni Association reunions in the US. So, kilala rin siya ng mga brads nyo, no? When we go to US. Yeah. I think I'm blessed with my family, no? For one, they understand my situation. And I'm blessed that they have not been giving me any problems. That's what I always pray to the Lord. Lord, you've given me so much load, so you have to help me rear my family. So
that's very nice, Doctora.
Yes,
so
yes.
I think that's how, I agree with you, Doctora. No, that balance is very important.
Yes,
with family,
yes.
Practice, deanship,
yeah,
and
yes,
everything. I see you have twins that are clerks. Is that right?
Yes, they are incoming clerks now.
Ah,
yeah,
nice.
They're
nice.
Having their final exams on Monday. So first week of June, they'll be having their finals.
Yeah, they so we're gonna talk about that later regarding the status of your educational
yes,
system now.
Yes, yes.
But before we go there, you know, as a dean, there are challenges along the way, no? How do you deal with problems?
Oh,
you know, I remember when we were students, it's like 400 students per batch. Is it still the same?
Yes, we're more, no? We're like
more.
First year we get like 480, 490. Sometimes it reaches up to 500, but you know, it's really very difficult to you know, there are a lot of challenges. Number one, the faculty, number two, the students, the curriculum, no, everything. And the landscape of healthcare education is really transforming very fast. No, you have to keep up with all the demands, plus the fact that you know the generation of the students, you're becoming far away from that generation. You're Gen X and they are, you know, Gen Z and the millennials. So you really have to adapt. No, it's not. You remember during our time, we cannot even go inside the dean's office. It's a secluded, it's a covered, you know, heavy wooden walls that you can't even enter. But now, it's different. No, you really have to communicate. You have to interact with the students. You have to hear them, and you know, these are the things that you have to do, no? Plus the fact that the curriculum changes. It's very difficult, the curriculum now, since we want to keep the standards, no? It's not just putting up a medical school and keeping up with the, you know, the whatever business side of it. No, it's really the standards that you want to keep. And then you want to be globally competitive at the same time because, you know, our graduates are all over the world. They are all over the world.
Yes, Doctora, I have a question on you regarding that. No, you know, you already said, how do you maintain, number one, how do you maintain the quality of your graduates? You know, like the bar, you know, usually you're at least top 10, sigurado yan, may UST, no? We're aiming always for number one. And then the second question is, how can mga foreign graduates, you know, like people might be listening from abroad, from the States, from Europe, can they study in UST?
Okay, so regarding your first question, how do we keep the standards? Now, I think it's the track record, no? So when I came here, when I become dean of the Faculty of Medicine and Surgery, we have been, you know, known to be, you know, we are being benchmarked, of course, in the country, you know, for us, the top medical school in the country. Now we have to keep up with it. That's the most difficult part, no? Maintaining it. So, number one, I think most important is to select the best students applying, no? So now how will these good students apply to you if you don't have a good track record? So it's like a cycle. So you have to be good, you have to be, you know, keep up with your standards, and then these students will apply to you. They are the good ones. Now, in the past years, I think the past 5 or 6 years, we have in the past 5 years, I think we have 36 graduates who landed in the top 10.
And wow.
I think, oh yeah, in that 6 years, 5 are number one. 5. So they're Dapoy Peralta, Jerry Albano, Dan Gulyas, you know, John Borbe, Eric Talavera. They are, wow. You know, they landed
so
in
proud,
number
Doctora.
One. Yeah, very proud. We're very, very proud of them. Now, while they are in the faculty with us in the Faculty of Medicine and Surgery, they always whine. They are mad because we have pushed them so much. Okay, you study this and study that. But you know, that's part of training. They do not realize that it's, you know, the education that you're having, the practice, the attitude that you want to them to be, you know, starts during the educational part. That's honing, that's the nurturing part. And when they are finished, they will realize, kaya pala, it's like this, kaya pala, they push us so hard. It's because it's training, it's something that we are, you know, to look up to, or, you know, in the future, this will happen to us, no? Now, with regard to your question on
foreign graduates,
foreign graduates can apply. Yes, we have percentage allocation, but they're not so much because we wanted, of course, to educate our Filipinos, no, our kababayans.
Of course,
no?
Yes.
Yeah, but we allocate for foreign graduates. Meron, we have foreigners who apply here who are you know, our medical students right now. We have. So for those who would like to, you know, apply and study here, they can.
Okay, that's great. You know, I, at least I'm proud to say that I'm an alumnus of Faculty of Medicine and Surgery. I'm not a board top notcher, but at least I'm proud to say that because of the training that I had in med school, my clerkship and internship. You know, that helped, that molded me to become who I am now also. Passionate like you, you know, like I wanted to be an ophthalmologist and that didn't stop me like you didn't stop being a neurosurgeon. It's the passion, you know. So, Doctora, sorry about that. So, we were talking about the med school now. It's pretty much high standard. We know you had to continue that and everything. And we know all the students are very good and being challenged. Now, let's talk about what's happening now in the quarantine. You know, face to face is still the best, you know, but now that the quarantine is here of COVID-19 and we still don't know the future, what's going to happen if it's still going to be online, are there how did you cope with it, and then how did you adapt with the situation of not the students, not even the clerks, not going into school in the med school?
Actually, this pandemic is a major disruptor, no? It's a major disruptor of medical education. And to think that medical education is part of the continuum. If we don't have good students, how can we have doctors in the future? So it really impacted, no, medical education. Now, with the abrupt change, there should be an abrupt response. So hindi pwedeng mag-iisip ka pa lang ngayon kung anong, what are you going to, you know, what are you going to do and what are you going to. And so we have to redesign, restructure, and reconfigure everything. So it's not like, you know, getting this bunch of fruits from one tray and put it in another tray. So it's not like that, no? Medical education should not be like that. We're very lucky because we have a cloud campus. The university has a cloud campus. It has been there for quite some time. But of course, we have not maximized its use, no? Like, for example, this time, it's full 360 degrees. So you have to adapt, or you have to transform everything into an online format. So all systems must work. And I think the mindset of the faculty, the students, we have shared responsibility. It doesn't have to be, okay, it's only us doing our share and then the students will just sit there and, you know, wait for things to come into them. But it's not like that. So the expectations remain. This is another challenge. The expectations remain. Expectations of a medical student, of a medical graduate, will remain even in the worst of circumstances. And I think you understand that, no?
Yes.
Hindi pwedeng, it cannot be, of course, with this pandemic, okay, we just have to cut the content of our medical curriculum and okay, never mind. What if you have a patient in the future? You'll tell, oh, because we did not complete studying about the kidneys, so I cannot treat you anymore. So expectations are, you know, it remains, no? The expectations remain, and as they say, there's no cutting corners in medicine. So we have to strike a balance at this point in time. We have to be tough, but of course altruistic with all the conviction and the firmness, but of course with sensibility, because not all of our students are in the same, you know, conditions right now. Uh-huh. Some maybe in the provinces, agree. They don't have this connectivity. They don't have online, you know, they don't have connectivity. They don't have Wi-Fi. So, I mean, the problem is we cannot compromise the content of medical education. Mm-hmm. So it's really a very big challenge, no? Leadership challenge at that. Mm-hmm. When you cannot really, it's really, you really have to talk to the students, hold a town hall meeting online just to explain everything. Yes.
How many students can you accommodate, Doctor? Like, for example, are the all the students in one section? I mean...
Yeah, actually, when I have town hall meetings with students, pumuputok yung blackboard eh. I mean, I go FB Live. So, wow. We have like, yeah, almost 1,000. But, you know, now I have like 1,847 students from first year to fourth year. So, we have 447 graduating students and the rest are undergrads. And, you know, I mean, UST Medicine has diversified. The Faculty of mm-hmm. Medicine and Surgery has diversified. Mm-hmm. We only do not have medical students. We have graduate programs. We have graduate programs. Wow. Yes, we offer
like what, doctor?
We have MS audiology. We have masters in pain medicine. We have masters in public health international, which is the first in the country, no, in collaboration with University of Leeds. And we also have this certification program in organ donation with University mm-hmm. of Barcelona. This is all mm-hmm. the first in the Philippines. And
wow.
Offer a bachelor's degree now. This is what we call the LIPMED, Learning Enhanced Accelerated Program in Medicine. So it's an elite group, no? It's like an honor section we offer. Mm-hmm. No, it's the Faculty of Medicine and Surgery offering a bachelor's degree. So it's an accelerated program, a 2-year and 2 special term or 2 summers, and then they go straight to medicine.
Wow. So doctora,
yes.
They don't need to go to college. Straight from high school?
Straight from high school.
Wow, that's nice.
The bachelor's degree will be on basic human studies. We call it BS, Bachelor of Science in Basic Human Studies, wherein they will have 2 years or 4 terms and 2 special terms. 2 years and 2 summers. So that is my brainchild, baby ko yung program.
Ah, yes. So that's your brainchild.
Yes,
nice.
Yes. Since I'm also an accelerated in BS biology.
Yes.
So I think sabi ko, I
remember that.
This is a good idea. We can do this. And we have, you know, a cross section of students from Luzon to Mindanao coming from mm-hmm. different high schools. So we offer scholarships as well. So we have diversified a lot.
Mm-hmm. That's nice, doctora. Yes. Well, I remember the BS Biology Accelerated Program. I have a lot of friends who went there.
Mm-hmm. And, yes.
Ikaw pala, doctora. So is there an accelerated program by biology or...
It's under the Faculty of Medicine and Surgery.
So there is no
accelerated program in bio in the College of Science. This is an accelerated program in the College of Medicine.
Wow.
So more focused. They already have physiology and anatomy and, you know, straight from high school.
I can imagine myself, you know, from high school. You know, you go out, have drinks, and then suddenly you're in med school. doing your physiology.
Fantastic. Yeah. And
I think it's a nice, doctora, hats off. That's a very nice, very good idea. Very good idea that you thought of that. You mentioned about cloud-based online. How did you go about that? I mean, you said UST had a cloud-based system already. Mm-hmm. That's for the whole university.
Yes, that's for the whole university. That's why
we
are very lucky. No?
You're lucky,
we're
doctora.
Very lucky because the university has a cloud campus already. It's been there for like seven years. But, you know, it's not really maximized. No? We have teacher training, faculty training. But, you know, some would not take it seriously until
this time.
Yes. And, you know, we are catering to 40,000 students on our campus. So, that's really something. No? That's really something.
I have a question, doctora.
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt. Kasi I'm just curious. Is USC the only one with a cloud-based?
No.
Or there are other schools?
I think there are other schools who
they've adapted.
Yeah,
no?
They have. Yeah, you call this a learning management system, but I don't know how you know the extent of their learning management system. But they have.
Okay, so, and then remember you were pushed back on the wall regarding the COVID, no? Is there how did you set up the system? We talked about that. Mm-hmm. A while ago, mm-hmm. that how did you set up the system in online education for the med students? It's not easy.
Yes.
It's not easy. How did you mm-hmm. do that?
It's not easy since we have this blackboard. So that's the learning management system already. Now, what we did, everyone
now, for
has
the other been, also for the other instructors, professors who have to teach. I mean, like, how did you coordinate all these small packets, no? small packets of lectures, exams.
Since we have, since we have this club campus already, now every student in every faculty of the Faculty of Medicine and Surgery has their ust.edu.ph G Suite account. So you can use that. So once you're logged in, you use this blackboard for discussions, collaborate discussions. You can have, anything. You can have the case discussion. So it's a live thing. So we do our lessons or lectures or discussions via synchronous or asynchronous mode. Meaning to say synchronous, you're like this, like what we're doing, no? So the professor is online, the students are online, they discuss, they present, no? We upload our slides already, our slide presentation, and it's live. We do it live. We question and answer, discussion. So it's like that. Now, but you know, not everyone knows how to do it. So before that, during that, in the initial part of the pandemic, we had to level up the faculty. Mm-hmm. You know, each and every faculty had to level up, retrain. No, we have e-learning specialists. Mm-hmm. So isa pang plus yon. We have e-learning specialists now in the Faculty of Medicine and Surgery. We have almost 300 faculty members, and we have like one or two e-learning specialists. Nagtutorial talaga kami. You know, we walk you through one on one. Kunyari ikaw and then me. I'll teach you how to do it. So tiyaga lang. It's really political will. We have to learn this. We have to do this.
So, Doctora, all those 300 faculty, they lecture on the cloud, using the cloud.
Yes. Yes.
So, I thought, you know, all the while, just like parang Zoom, spent a lot for this, I guess. No?
Yes.
For this cloud.
And the time also, time, energy, effort.
So you can just log any like, for example, I am a professor of UST medicine. I just log into the cloud, and then the students log into the cloud and they do the teaching. It's that simple.
Yes, we call that a Blackboard Collaborate. So you meet. Yes, just like what we're doing right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then, for example, there's a bigger class, like for example, for the whole class. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. There's just 100 students for the section. Like, so there's also a section, per section. Yeah.
Yes.
It's like just online.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Like, for example, a plenary or a general lecture when, of course, for example, I'm going to lecture on fluid and electrolyte balance and I have 150 students. Okay. Then let them join. All of them.
Nice.
Yes.
How about, of course, you're learning and everything, studying. How about the exams, Doctora? How do you conduct the examinations or like quizzes? Like when we were there are like 3 or 4 quizzes a day, and then there's a one huge exam, 2 huge exams. How do you do that?
Yeah, so during the time we had the rapid transition, no, we have already a schedule. We have a schedule, the one we use at face-to-face, diba? We have schedule.
Yes.
And then when we do online, we maintain the schedule. So there is no conflict between, like, for example, anatomy and biochem will not conflict regarding schedule because we follow our original schedule. Now, when we have exams. Like, for example, next Monday to June 1 to 6 will be the final examination of the third year medical students. So they will be taking the examinations online as well. Now we have this, what we call Respondus Lockdown Browser, wherein, you know, this is an anti-cheat or a proctor. a proctor for the examination. You know naman the students, they're, yes, you know, they're very much ahead of time. Yeah.
They can have their phone, you know, on the side.
Yes,
Google.
On the side, another browser and all. We you know, we have this Respondus lockdown browser who uh-huh. you know, prevents the taker, the examinee, to open another browser. But, you know, there are still some loopholes on this. With the advanced technological know-how of the students, they can resort to something else. So we have strict guidelines. Like, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. the Blackboard, our learning management system will dictate, or you set your examination guidelines. Like, the question will come one at a time. The mm-hmm. questions are at random, so you cannot, you know, mm-hmm. use your cell phone and then your other classmate in Quezon City just open your, and then you answer all at the same time. It's difficult because the questions are random. Each question is timed, like a 40 second per item, a 60 second per item. So there are security measures that we mm-hmm. employ, but, you know, I think that will limit, no? And of course, we trust our students so well. We trust them, and we always tell them that, you know, this is for your own sake. If you don't learn and just, you know, keep on, you know, doing some things that are not allowed, then it's really going back to you.
That's nice, Doctora. And nice to know that all of these platforms are now readily available to our students, mm-hmm. and they can use them with the professors and the, mm-hmm. and the teachers. Now, my probably second to the last question to you is, what do you think is the future of the educational system as a whole, or maybe in the UST after the COVID era of the quarantine? Will it go back to normal, or will there be a new normal? I mean, like, mm-hmm. what's your take on this?
Mahirap. That's a difficult question, you know, Raul, no? Because, you know, how can we chart the future when the road is constantly changing or shifting, mm-hmm. right? So, but, mm-hmm. you know, my fundamental construct is project, plan, and prepare. So I think healthcare education leaders nowadays should be visionaries.
Yes.
So kailangan visionary ka lagi, no? You
exacto.
Know, you have to be progressive.
1 to 2 years.
Yes.
Not only that, 5-10 years. Yeah.
10 years.
Yes, exactly. So, I agree.
Yeah. So you have to be progressive. Your mind has to be progressive, non-rigid. You should be flexible, you know, how to go in and out of lockdowns, no? Parang you prepare something that is really versatile, you know? You can go in and out of lockdowns, in and out of uh-huh. quarantine. So I think it's not going to, I mean, unlikely to return to the mm-hmm. old normal. It's very mm-hmm. unlikely. We really have to go through a transformative change. No, it's mm-hmm. going to be a transformative medical education. When we go back, the succeeding academic calendars will not be the same. It's not going to mm-hmm. be the same. So it's on us, the academic leaders, to reinvent, to reimagine mm-hmm. the future. So I've been attending webinars 1 a.m. with Harvard, and, you know, conducting webinars with them, you feel like, oh, I'm not left behind. We are not lost. We are, because you are at the same boat.
Eh.
They don't know also. They're just doing this trial and error. So I mean, that's one good thing I think that came in because of this pandemic, you know, the spirit of collaboration. So going back, no, transformative, it has to be a transformative mm-hmm. medical mm-hmm. education. It's, I mean, the new practices that you've been doing that has been brought about by this pandemic, you know, becomes now the incorporated mm-hmm. thing, no? So you incorporate things that you have done during this pandemic and make it part of the new normal. So as I've said earlier, my vision is, I think we go mid-ground, no? Mid-ground mm-hmm. scenario. It's not going to be pure beneficial to go virtual. It has to be hybrid, no?
Hybrid. Ah, that's a perfect word, Doctora. Hybrid.
Yeah.
I mean, hybrid. Siguro, Doctora, they go there for maybe a few hours, see the teachers, and then they can go right away. I mean, yes, like, just to check up touch base, parang ganon, di ba?
Yes. It has to be hybrid. So you go virtual. Yes.
For the clerks.
Because there are some outcomes that you cannot achieve, no, by going virtual and online. Mm-hmm. How can you exercise empathy and compassion,
exactly,
by doing online all the time? Di ba? It has to be patient encounter, and not mm-hmm. even simulation can mm-hmm. do that.
Cannot.
I mean,
yes.
Still, you know, and we know that Filipinos are known throughout the world for being compassionate, you know, emphatic. So I mm-hmm. think we really have to have this hybrid, no? Embrace the emergent technology, adaptive learning, no? And do some global benchmarking. But still, we still have to touch base and have this patient encounter and patient contact. No?
That's nice, Doctor. I'm glad that at least UST is in touch with the global leaders in medicine, uh-huh. like Harvard in Europe. And I'm glad that you are doing that in behalf of our medical school.
Ah, we need that. We yes. have to relearn.
Yeah, learn everything, share each other's experiences. Yes. And well, Doctora, you know, to tell you the truth, that was 30 minutes right away. And it's
really?
Fast. Yeah, it's fast. You know, kasi I told you, we're just gonna, you know, have kwentuhan lang, you know, stories about med school. Yeah. And it's almost done, you know. Actually, this is my last question to you, Doctora. No? Mm-hmm. With all your experiences, you know, you're a neurosurgeon, your family, practice, deanship, all these problems and everything, you know. How do you define success in terms of your professional and your personal life, Doctora?
Oh, okay. It's success is relative, no? It depends, really depends upon the person. If power makes you happy, if money makes you happy, if you know having all this attention makes you happy, that is, you know, a definition of your success. But to me, success is simple lang. If I will be able to inspire people one way or the other, especially the younger generation, that is already success, no, to my mind and to my personal thing. It's really when you inspire people, you make them deliver, you know, shine and inspire others in the future. So it's going to be a continuous process. When you inspire somebody, in effect or in return, these people will inspire other people, the next generation. I think that's success. And when you know, sometimes I feel successful when you have changed the course of destiny of other people, you know, from students who have not been so, you know, focused on their studies, and then you end up, you know, just like seeing you, but we're not really years so much generation apart, because I was a senior
yes.
when you were an intern or
yes.
a clerk.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
when you see people, when you meet them across, you know, the corridors of hospitals, outside, or even in conferences abroad, you feel very successful, and that's happiness, no? Success is happiness to me, and mm-hmm. it cannot be measured actually. But when you see people that you have touched the lives of these people one way or the other, to me that's already success.
Yes, nicely said, Doctora.
Yes,
nicely,
yes.
Nicely said. And I wish, you know, we could still talk some more. Maybe in the future, we could just
yes.
Have another interview.
Yes, get but, another topic
I know,
to talk about.
But I know you're busy, you know, after this, actually, you have another yeah. webinar, you know, it's
right.
hard to catch
uh-huh.
you. But at least we're able to talk to you, have your insights on our med school, on what's happening now in the educational system. And thank you, Doctora. Thank you, Doctora, for gracing our dean.
Thank you.
Our dean. Oh, my God, our dean.
Don't forget, Raul, our medical graduates, our medical students,
of
our
course.
Medical graduates are the biggest, the best, and the brightest.
Actually, Doctora, you know, I want to also congratulate our past, you know, alumni, and then our future alumni, and the present, and we're all in this together. Not just UST,
yes.
of course, the whole Philippines,
yes.
the whole medical community is all together in this endeavor to fight the virus.
Yes, yes.
But
yes.
I'm still happy that I was able to guest you in our podcast, and probably just some parting words and words of inspiration to our mm-hmm. current and future medical
yeah.
students, Doctora. Any words of wisdom?
Well, actually, there is a vision for our lives, no, that is somewhat greater than the imagination we can hold. You know, these young students, they don't know where they're going. But, you know, I think, as you know, words of wisdom, there is always a vision for our lives that is somewhat greater than the imagination we can hold. Now, my fundamental construct, or my principle, or my element, we would usually say that everything that we put into this world is going to come back, no? Diba? Pabaliklad siyan eh.
Exactly.
And you know, so you just have to run that race as hard as you can and give everything that we've got. Buhos lang, push, no? You just give everything and take full responsibility of the space that we hold. So you do this, but you have to be responsible. Remember, God has a bigger dream for us, more than what you can ever dream for ourselves. So, di ba, you have to be always guided. We are gifted with talent, with you know, everything. But, you know, you have to use it wisely. When you do something, you have to take full responsibility. And you can just keep on dreaming because, you know, the Lord has bigger dreams for us.
Thank you, Doctora. But my final word for today, or phrase today, Doctora, is from our... from UST building. This quote, when I go back to UST building, I always see this quote in Latin, no, Doctora? Ars longa vita brevis, no? Ars longa vita brevis, which means art is long but life is short, which means just the knowledge you get from medicine and everything, the learning is long but life is short, Doctora.
Yes,
imagine we're already in our mid, you know, in any time we're gonna go.
And yes, that's why you have to maximize everything.
Maximize, exactly.
Maximize, that what, you know, give everything that you've got, no, and take full responsibility of the space that you hold.
Thank you, Doctora. Again, I cannot be thankful and happy to be your
thank you too.
Podcast. Okay, Doctora, so that's it, no?
Thank you.
Thank you, Raul. Hopefully, our medical students or our future medical students will listen to this podcast and listen to our dean. Yes. And that's it for our episode on Medicine of Success. Stay safe, keep safe, God bless, and watch out for my next episode. Thank you.
Thank you.